I feel like we've been over-indexing attribution is great. And when working with CMOs, it's super important for us to understanding and what's working, where should we invest of our budgets and to different types of customers or prospect segments, geographies, et cetera, what's working on what stage of the funnel. But making life decisions, life or death decisions based on attribution, it's imperfect science, right? As long as it's in directionally correct, it's never going to be 100% correct. We know that there's this dark funnel. We know that there are buying committees. We know that people don't allow cookies. A lot of them, especially if you're selling into IT, they do incognitos and all of that. So it's very hard to like be very scientific about it. So making life or death decisions or like setting comp plans based on the attribution, which I saw people do, I feel like it's, don't go that way. Like it's great, attribution is great, but in some sense the world would be better without it.
Hey everyone, I'm Sandy Robinson, your host of RevOps Unboxed. During each episode, we're diving headfirst into conversations with some of the most incredible RevOps leaders out there. Not CEOs, not big flashy executives, not vendors. We're talking to the people who are actually doing the work, the ones leading teams, the ones in the trenches, grinding it out every single day. We're taking things up a notch, getting deeper, having more fun, and as always, keeping it real. Remember our theme, RevOps Unboxed, and today we're unboxing it all. Let's get started. Hey everyone, I'm Sandy Robinson, your host of RevOps Unboxed. I'm so excited to be here today with Olga Treskova. She is the VP of Revenue Operations at BirdEye, and she's going to tell you all about her role and some great things that she's been working on. Thank you for being here today, Olga.
So excited to join you, Sandy. Great to be here.
Awesome. Tell everybody a little bit about your background and what you do.
For sure. So I run revenue operations at a company called BirdEye. We are in reviews management, listings management, overall online reputation segment. And we are a global company. We have offices in United States and in United Kingdom and in Australia. And I have teams spread out across the globe. I have teams here in US, people in India, people in Australia and UK and Philippines, managing truly global revenue operations team spanning across marketing operations, sales operations, customer success operations, bringing it all together, including account management, tools management, analytics, and very, very closely working, of course, with sales enablement to bring all of this processes and the tools to life.
I love it. It sounds like definitely a really big role. How long have you been in this role?
With BirdEye, I've been for around 18 months, I believe. Okay. And in RevOps, I think it feels like I've been all my life. I started in operations a long time ago. I feel it was 2007, right? And okay. It was before it was called operations, right? Remember those times when we were searching for the word?
I know, right?
I went through like, data hackers, growth ninjas, like all those kinds of cool titles. I started in marketing ops. But again, before it was called marketing ops, it was more like online marketing or marketing technology, managing Pardot at that time or Marketo, Salesforce and lead generation, demand generation, lead scoring. I come from that world. So really still staying close to my marketing business partners, to the top of the funnel, understanding, you know, how lead generation works at the top of the funnel. And, you know, through the years, I think, you know, fueled by hard questions from my CMOs and my leaders, I just made my way into sales ops and then into analytics. Over years, marketing grew from just being, a lead generating engine to having an actual seat at that revenue table. And as budgets grew, we had to answer the questions of, okay, what's working, what's not, and at what sort of stage of the customer journey, what exactly is working, and how do we more of it? How do we rinse and repeat what's actually working? So, and to answer those questions, I had to make my way into pipeline, understand the sales cycle, the sales stages, the sales behavior, the analytics, the tools, everything, you know, the bridge the gap between marketing and sales.
I love that. I love that. And, you know, I talk to a lot of RevOps leaders, and coming up through marketing, I think, is extremely valuable in bringing some of these insights, because it, I mean, MOPS is a different beast, right? Like it is a different animal. You have to really understand it. And if you're really going to enable the full customer buying journey, like you're talking about, you either need to be great at it yourself or find somebody who is really a MOPS ass kicker. So I love that. And then you saw the value in, it's not just about the box checking of the MQLs. It's really like, what is happening with the sales cycle? And you know, so you kind of like dug into that, it sounds like.
And works both ways, right? Works both ways, because then you also need to be able to understand, to explain your sellers on what that MQL is and why they should care, right? Mm-hmm. And being able to speak the sales language and translate that scoring criteria and why we score them to MQL or why they raise the hand, right? And why they need to follow up, so that we stop this sort of like, if you remember that meme that was going around a couple of years ago, where we're just throwing leads over the fence and you just sort of forget about it, right? So we should stop doing that. It's a two-way conversation, and more like three-way, because marketing also generates leads for customer success, right? For the upsells and for existing customers, right? When we go to market, we do target, you know, our greenfield and our existing customers as well. So we need to be able to bridge the gap between sales and customer success organization as well.
Yeah. I mean, it's really, you know, if you think of modern marketing attribution, there's so many different touch points. There's so many different things that you're looking at. Customers, you know, they don't always know how they heard about you or what made them reach out and things like that. So just being a great marketer and thinking about that full customer journey, I think, is so critical for RevOps, right?
Yeah.
And not just getting so hyper-focused on the sales funnel, really looking at the full bow tie.
And attribution is a trigger word for me, because I feel like...
Uh-oh. Are we going to need therapy here?
You found the pain point.
Yes.
I feel like we've been over-indexing attribution is great. And when working with CMOs, it's, of course, it's super important for us to understand again what's working, where should we invest of our, you know, our budgets and to different types of customers or prospect segments, geographies, et cetera, what's working on what stage of the funnel. But making life decisions, life or death decisions based on attribution, it's imperfect science, right? As long as it's directionally correct, it's never going to be 100% correct. We know that there's the dark funnel. Mm-hmm. We know that there are buying committees. We know that people don't allow cookies.
Yeah.
A lot of them, especially if you're selling into IT, they do incognitos and all of that. So it's very hard to like be very scientific about it. So making life or death decisions or like setting comp plans based on the attribution, which I saw people do, I feel like it's, don't go that way. Like it's great. Attribution is great, but in some sense, the world would be better without it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the days of first and last touch attribution are just over. I think understanding, you know, like you said, just, you know, really a modern way of looking at it. And it's a data point, right? And it's funny you said that incognito. Like the first thing I thought about is my 13-year-old. I'm like, they're not getting any marketing data on him because he's always doing crap in incognito. So I don't know what he's doing. So it just totally dawned on me. So anyway.
That generation is smarter than us, because I'm being followed by the ads.
I know, right? I know. Oh, that's hilarious. Well, I like that you're thinking that way. And it is important, because I think sometimes like the upper leadership, the C-suite gets hung up on things like, well, we went to an event. We should have, you know, we had 20 leads. We need to have two opportunities and those, you know, and it's like, That's great, but that's just like one place they saw us, and you know, how many other folks from our organization reached out, how many from theirs, do they just kind of know about us? Like, there's so much to it. And I think some people still look at that and like they hang their hat on it, and that's how they do budgets, right?
Yeah. Exactly. And we're now internally also looking into the multi-touch attribution to understand the customer journey. We are doing sort of last touch before opportunity is created. That is just a single point, right? It is very narrow. And we're sort of hitting the wall right now, not being able to uncover what happens before that, right? So, and as we look into this multi-touch attribution, we, of course, on one hand, want to be scientific about it, but on the other hand, it's about the story and the patterns, right, that you uncover, rather than just being too anal about like every little touch point that you want to track and the attribution that you want to assign to it. So while to me attribution is important, like you've got to be real about it, right? It's more for marketing. Like, it's not definitely something that sales sort of need to be involved in, right? So it's an internal marketing metric, internal marketing process, you know, to verify what's working. Same as MQLs, right? MQL is a marketing metric. Like, and we were talking, Sandy, when we were doing the podcast, when we were talking about lagging versus leading indicators and what matters, the metrics that matter, right? There are some metrics that should be like departmental only, right? So don't, mm-hmm. do not report it on like a company level, right? And again, I come from marketing ops background. It's always in my heart. I love it, but some of this should stay with marketing.
Don't let it trickle up onto the board decks, right? I mean, those are things that people take to their graves, or they make it your MBO. Now suddenly that's your MBO as the marketing leader, right?
Yeah.
So how do you tie together, you know, thinking about the full customer journey, marketing ops, sales ops, and CS ops, how do you really tie that all together and make it work?
It is, you know, because it's truly one customer journey, right? Breaking it down is something that internal, right? So, and if I think about running a RevOps team, running a team that supports this customer journey, it doesn't matter who is it, visit your website. Is it a customer? Is it a prospect? Are they already in the pipeline, right? We need to have sort of the seamless transition, and also on the back end, you know, from the ops standpoint, have this seamless tracking of it all. And therefore, my sort of new belief is to think about RevOps people as those hybrid roles, right? People mm-hmm. that would understand the entire customer journey. The challenge that I realized we're facing this year is that we are being still siloed internally, even within the RevOps team. Like, the team was brought together, the concept of revenue operations came to life to break down silos, but somehow we end up in silos. My marketing ops and my CS ops, my customer sales ops, you know, might be doing something very different, not very much integrated into each other's processes, right? So what we're working on right now is to essentially like having the RevOps person that understands the entire customer journey. So when we make decisions on, say, enhancing something on a after sales side, onboarding side, implementation, customer implementation side, we think about the full journey, right? Going to the tactics of like, okay, if I create this field, do I even need to create this field? Or is it something that already exists on the lead because marketing is tracking it from, you know, some other source, right? So just understanding the full scope, I think, is essential, and thinking about this like one customer journey. And it does not stop at close one again, right? Because mm-hmm. then it goes into this bow tie cycle of upsells, right? So it goes there as well. So we need to think about that. And again, it starts at the top of the funnel. I think the problem is that in the recent years, maybe because the economy was on the rise, we were all focused on the new business sales. Now the focus is shifting to retention and looking at the existing customers. And this is where we see so much gray area right now, right? Because we have not been focusing, we have not been zeroing in on the customer success side. And mm-hmm. for me now, I feel like sales ops has been around for a long time because we always had to take care of our salespeople. The marketing ops came into play. It's more or less baked in. Now, CSOps is it's a fairly new function, and this is where I spend a lot of time tightening up the processes there, the teams there, technologists, etc. So it helps, of course, to understand the top of the funnel, because it then triggers all of the events way down the process.
Yeah, totally. And I think when you look at the structure of the organization, you know, like 10 years ago, there was more of account managers and not really this customer success function that is solely focused on the health of the customer. So I think getting the structure in the organization is then going to dictate those operations roles, right? And maybe in my experience, especially startups are so focused on, hey, we've got to get the leads, we've got to have pipeline, we've got to have forecasting, board decks, and they're like, we'll worry about customer success later. But then pretty soon, like all of that ACV needs to turn into ARR, and you need to manage the business. So you need to be forward thinking about like that full customer journey. So, you know, I guess maybe can you tell me a little bit about like the ideal structure or maybe how you've encountered that in this role or previous roles?
For sure. And you nail it, saying like, first of all, like who do we support, right? Mm-hmm. It's more or less straightforward with the sales org and marketing. It's just the matter of where BDR sit. Like there can be opinions about that.
That could be a whole episode on that, right? Where do they sit?
Or do they sit on the CS side? If you think about it, like how wide do you go? Because there are so many teams that actually support customers. There's onboarding, there's implementation, there's customer success, there's an account manager, there's support. So there's some companies now have like retention teams. So there's just so many teams that how wide do we go? Mm-hmm. At Birdeye, we support all of those above mentioned teams. So we do work with all of the leaders on the CS side, right? Account managers, customer success, onboarding, implementation, support. Because that all rolls out into, again, the same customer journey, the same experience. We support the tech stack. And from there, you know, just the number of projects, the number of requests, the number of processes that we need to administrate and maintain, sort of the number of headcount, you know, is connected to that. But my largest teams and team internally is the sales ops team. And it's due to the fact that we also support the account management. I think in other companies would be called territories, right? So we are responsible for sourcing and creating and assigning accounts to our sellers and BDRs, maintaining that book of business. So I do have a special team within sales operations that is focused exactly on that. They do manage different data sources, such as data providers, ZoomInfo, Seamless, Cognizant, Lasha. Depending on the territory, they do use LinkedIn Sales Navigator, other tools, and just Google searches to verify accounts, to clean accounts, to create them in Salesforce. Sales operations is responsible for account math, so calculating how many accounts each rep, each BDR needs, you know, based on the conversion rates, what's their book of business, and then ensuring that they have them clean and assigned, and also preparing for the new hires and having the buffer, all of that. So that's a special team within sales ops. Other than that, our sales ops is pretty standard. We do a lot of programs. We do support quote to cash and deal desk, the day-to-day operations within Salesforce and CPQ. And we do have regional support because we're a global company. It is essential that you have people in those time zones. So if I have sellers in US, I need to have sales ops people in US supporting them. If I have salespeople in Australia, I need to have a sales ops person in Australia, working Australia hours, so that there's support in their time zone. And that is then based on the number of sellers you have. On average, it's So what about 20 reps for one person?
20 to 1, okay.
Because we do have hybrid roles, like my sales ops program manager and my deal desk person are two different people, right? So in the region, I would have a deal desk person, and then I would have also sort of a global program manager that would support rolling out tools, processes, changes to the sales process, et cetera.
So you are you then centralized? Like, are you reporting up to the C-suite or CRO, CEO? Like, where do you sit?
I report now to CEO directly. And that's the transition that we made a few months ago when I joined the company. I was reporting to CFO. My previous company was also reporting to CFO. I guess it comes from this idea that RevOps need to be independent. Should not be sitting under sales, should not be sitting under marketing. So where do they sit? You know, if there's no CRO, usually CFO is your next best choice.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you're music to my ears, because I've lived that, I'm not going to call it a dream or a nightmare, but I've lived those scenarios where it would have been much better in, you know, reporting to CFO, or, you know, if the company's large enough, I think, you know, sitting at the C-suite is important. But having that objective, especially if it's not a true CRO role. So what I see, it sounds like with your organization, is sometimes companies they're big, and they're going to have a CMO, and they're going to have a chief sales officer, and maybe a CXO, and, you know, operations. You've got all kinds of different C-suite. So there may not be a place for a CRO, or they might have a CRO, but they're really a sales officer, right? So having RevOps under one of those and expect them to, like, dotted line, I think you're on it. Like, the only place is either finance or, you know, a direct to the CEO. It's got to be one of the two to provide that objectivity, because, like, you get, like, stuck in the middle, and you have to provide that objective view, but it's hard if your boss is the chief sales officer, right?
Yeah, exactly. What do you expect me to focus on, right? If it comes down to me, like, 70-80% being sales, right? So I'm going to be, of course, sales oriented. Oh, I love reporting to CEO, and even though the expectations are high and the bar is very high, it gives you sort of the understanding of the full scope and understanding of the strategy and the global purview. You know, like, still when you talk to different companies, right, there's no alignment at the top, like, and the function will not be successful if a CMO sort of does not really believe in that, but a sales officer is pushing for it, and CEO is like, yeah, like, all the entire C-suite, all of the officers need to be aligned on the top, that this is how we're doing, that there's going to be the function that will actually, you know, take care of the entire customer journey, tool-wise, process-wise, metrics-wise, right? And we will be business partners. Otherwise, it's not going to be successful, and we will just buried in the politics and drama. This is not the case here, and I think it allows us to move fast, because there is, like, absolute partnership at the top.
Yeah, I mean, alignment has to come from the top, and I talk to a lot of folks try it at conferences, and I know you've been to these conferences, and it's like they're frustrated trying to drive RevOps from the bottom up, trying to say, hey, you know, let's work together. And that's important. Like, you have to have those collaborative skills and everything, but you should do that with the support from the top down to say, like, this is what RevOps does. They're supporting the full customer journey. They report here or whatever, but this is the, you know, this is what we're all talking about. We're all singing the same song, and it has to come from the top. And I think what I also hear a lot is, you know, PE firms come into the picture and they're like, oh, you need to get RevOps. And then you get hired as RevOps, and the person that hired you doesn't know what the hell RevOps is. And this is so common, right? And then it ends up being a complete failure and catastrophe, because nobody was aligned at the top. They just like checked a box because they needed to do a thing. And Forbes said RevOps is the hottest job out there. So let's post a RevOps job and we don't know what it is. I mean, yeah, so, exactly. So you guys are doing it right. Like obviously you have a big business, a big global business, and there's a lot to think about, but it'd be impossible if you were sitting under the CMO or, you know, somewhere else in the company.
No, and you said it right. I also don't believe in dotted lines. Like, it looks great on paper. It never works in reality, right? And ends up being a constant fight. If we're taking this seriously, if it's a serious org, like, it should be done. So, you know, on paper and in reality, we need to have budgets. We need to have responsibilities. We need to have our own charter. And, it's not the power play. It's just, again, about centralizing the customer journey and centralizing the go-to-market stack, like simple things like overlapping capabilities of different tools, right? If every team starts buying their own thing, you know, then you're going to end up with like sales loft and outreach together, you know? or things like that. And then there's going to be two different sets of data, for example, that's never going to, align with each other. So there is a lot of benefits, of course, in having the centralized team. And I was reading just today, it depends on the stage of the company, right? If you're just a startup, a smaller company, just, you know, probably a subject matter expert's going to do it for you, right? You don't need a centralized RevOps team, full-blown team. You can do decentralized and have just ops people sitting in. But as you grow, to make it scalable and to allow for growth, there's no other way. And I think that's why PE firms love it. PE firms want to... Their end game is to sell you, just to exit you. They want to put you in a box. They want to make you simple, scalable, transparent. To make you simple, scalable, transparent, and predictive, you need that function that is, you know, very sort of predictable.
You need the function. You need to do it well and execute. I think this. We could probably go on and on about this. I want to flip a little bit here and talk about AI. You know, we've got, it's always, you know, every conference I go to, every topic is, you know, what are you doing with AI? And I think a lot of folks are leveraging tools well. I think there's a lot of shiny objects out there that you have to be careful about. So, give me some thoughts. You know, what are you focused on? Are you?
I'm cautiously optimistic.
Trigger word for you, or my
sort of maybe like call me old school. I just recently discovered ChatGPT for myself. I just love creating images for my slide decks, you know, for my presentations. Right. And maybe it helps me write one email or two a day. But I'm cautiously optimistic. And I was talking to my team actually this morning, and I said, hey, we need to start with the areas that have been tried already for quite some time with AI or machine learning, right? And when you think about it, okay, it's not like I'm going to buy an SDR agent or like convert BDRs and SDRs to AI, but within RevOps, so what we were brainstorming, what we could do is, you know, analytics and forecasting. That is sort of obvious, right? AI has been already, and machine learning has been analyzing the data sets and the trends for years, right? So it's sort of the safe game for me, like say rolling out AI when it comes to pipeline analytics, pipeline inspection, and forecasting, just because then I understand how it works. It spots the historical patterns, it models some predictions based on the historical patterns, rep behavior, fluctuation, sales performance, et cetera, and that spits out a number. But even if I were to use AI in forecasting and pipeline inspection, I want to triangulate. I still want to be sort of old school. I still want to have my regular forecasting out of the CRM. I want to have the management forecast. And then, you know, the third point, I can have AI forecast. And then I can like triangulate between the different points to stay on like more conservative, safer side. With Talking about marketing ops, right? That is also another obvious safe choice that has been going on for years. It's the lead scoring and mm-hmm. routing, right? Again, we have been using predictive lead scoring for years already. And again, AI will streamline it based on their likelihood to convert. Say AI already sits on top of your forecasting. It's just a natural organic choice to stream it up, down the funnel, up the funnel, to the lead scoring, because now AI knows what to convert faster, with a higher propensity. So it would score those leads higher, right? So having that cycle connected also makes sense. So as we think about AI, I definitely would not jump like into mm-hmm. every shiny object. Like I feel like everyone's doing AI, right? Everyone's trying it because just there's so much room for error. And, mm-hmm. you know, back to the customer journey optimization, that's like for marketing teams, for sales teams, like serving content, right? Like based mm-hmm. on where you are in the customer journey, there's also suggesting different types of content based on who you are, what industry you come from, what segment, you know, what was discussed during the calls. I know now there's AI ads that can actually listen to calls and analyze calls and suggest that. So I would love to try those things, but again, like not overhauling my traditional methods, you know, just still sticking to my sort of classic old school mm-hmm. approaches and layering AI on top of it to see like what can it uncover. Is there anything we can do better than what we are doing?
Right. I mean, that makes so much sense, especially just in the position that you're in, right? You have a large global operations that is not broken, right? So it's always like, what, you know, what problem am I trying to solve, right? So is there some low hanging fruit? Where can you test it? Where can you layer things in? I think that's such a smart approach, because it is, I mean, I'm sure your phone rings like mine. I mean, I love a great SDR, by the way. So I will take a call and I will listen, but there are so many just new companies, or, you know, that's what we're leading with right now. And it's just overwhelming to say like, well, there's just stuff coming everywhere, right? So we need to focus on, you know, what's the meat and potatoes? And then, you know, where can we add a little bit of dressing to it, you know, yeah. and a little enhancements and time savers. And, you know, to me, like data cleansing is a great opportunity, you know. If you already have some of the call intelligence tools, those are great because it saves salespeople time, and they hate putting stuff in the CRM anyway. So yeah. like that stuff's just, you know, like,
yeah, like we discussed, right? Gong, Upstart, other tools, they have this feature right now to populate fields, map to your mm-hmm. medic fields or your, any other sales methodology fields, just based on what's going on in the account or in the opportunity. Yeah, maximizing sales time. I feel like that mm-hmm. is the priority. But for us, is revenue, why I'm being cautious when being optimistic, that's just another tool that we need to manage, and all the glitches and sync issues that come with that.
I know. It's like if you already have it, then that's one thing. Like, but if you don't, yeah, it's, you've just got to, because the tech stack can get out of control so quickly and so easily. So mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's, I think you're sending a really great message to RevOps leaders, because I think sometimes RevOps leaders, they come into a role and, like, you know, tech's important, it is the foundation, but it doesn't mean you have to like add a ton of stuff to, you know, you just need to like make it work, you know. Yeah. most of the time this stuff doesn't work, right? So
I truly believe that you can run a RevOps function with an Excel spreadsheet. Mm-hmm. Because I end up modeling everything in Excel. I end up doing a lot of forecasting in Excel, data analytics, visualization, all of that. Everything else is great, and it's a, you know, great sort of shiny object. But the challenge here is, of course, with the budgets that are being cut, you know, left and right, a lot of companies are going through that, is how do you do more with less? How do you get mm-hmm. creative, you know, headcount wise as well? How do you then, you know, turn your folks into hybrid RevOps people so that they don't just do, say, account management, but they within RevOps, but they can also help you with lead scoring and implementing some processes on the marketing ops side or CS side. So how do you do more with less? That's another theme for 2025.
How do you do more with less? I love it. Yeah, that's definitely... definitely the theme for sure. So tell me, you know, we're going to wrap up here and I'd love to hear a little bit about your maybe words of wisdom, RevOps mantra or something, something that, you know, if you're a listener, you're a RevOps practitioner, that is something that's really helped you along the way.
Like a RevOps therapy, like a 1 minute RevOps therapy session. you know what? And that's what I'm reminding myself every day, literally. I'm not making it up. I'm also the person that might sometimes, you know, neglect the problem, choose to ignore the problem and like move on and tell myself I'm going to find the bigger fish to fry and all of that. I'm telling myself now every day, don't look the other way. Mm-hmm. If you see the problem, fix the problem. Don't postpone. It will end up to a bigger mess. So you don't need to do everything yourself. Use your team. Use your teams. You have all the parallel teams that you can use, right? You can delegate. You can create committees and work groups. But if you truly see the problem, don't look the other way.
Right.
Work on fixing the problem and figure out a way, a committee, how to fix it. Of course, there's prioritization. There's, of course, scoping and all of that. But I feel like over years, this is how technical debt accumulates. Just all of the historical malpractices, bad processes accumulate, and then they explode.
Yeah, and the Band-Aids, or someone will throw a Band-Aid on it and then some duct tape, and they just let the problem get bigger and bigger, and eventually it's no good. So yeah. I love that. Don't look the other way. Address the problem. Find a way. Work with your teams, work with other teams, delegate, collaborate, prioritize whatever you have to do.
Amen to that.
I love it. I love it. Great way to wrap. Olga, I really appreciate you being on the show. Thanks for taking the time. I know we're all busy, so I really appreciate you.
Thank you so much, Sandy. That has been awesome.
This has been another episode of RevOps Unboxed in partnership with the Revenue Operations Alliance. Until next time, keep unboxing.